Welcome to Mind Over Matter. I'm Dr. Elaine Schroeder, and we are live on the air tonight for this month's edition of a radio program dedicated to informing Southeast Alaska K2 listeners about a myriad of psychological and social issues that confront us in our daily lives. Ultimately, my hope is that this show will help listeners live their lives with more awareness and greater happiness. The rights of gays and lesbians to marry has been front and center in the news lately. More and more states are affirming the civil rights of same-sex couples to marry. Not in the news nearly as often are stories the stories about the couples who are raising children in gay male or lesbian unions. As I'll discuss in more detail during our program tonight, decades of research show that children raised by lesbian and gay male parents are as well-adjusted as children raised by heterosexual parents, despite the reality that these non-traditional families face considerable legal discrimination and inequity. Tonight, we'll have a chance to explore the research on gay parenting and, most important, talk to two lesbian moms who are in the midst of parenting and who can tell us their own experiences of non-traditional family life in Juneau. So in the studio with me tonight are a longtime couple, Karen Wood and Darla Madden. We're also joined by Karen and Darla's 14-year-old daughter, Willa, who is sitting quietly in the corner and may or may not decide that she wants to say something, but she wanted to hear the program, which I think is really great. Welcome all three of you to the show.
Thanks, Lane.
Yeah. So,
thank you.
Either one of you can answer the question, or you both can chime in, but first question is, how long have you been a couple?
We've been together 23 years now.
Wow.
Actually, it'll be 23 years in November. We met here in Juneau in 1991.
Aha.
On the basketball court.
Did you have a long courtship before you moved in together, or how'd it go?
Yes, I think it was fairly long. It was, according to lesbian terms, it was fairly long.
What does that mean, Darla?
2 months, no.
Huh?
Well, I think the adage is you date and then you move in the next day, practically, or something along those lines. No, we didn't move in together for 9 months, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite restrained.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite cautious.
Yeah.
How old were you when you met?
I was 25. Darla was 34.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And by the way, we're going to be using terms lesbian, gay woman, gay, gays, gay men. And I talked to, let's kind of talk about those terms so that our listeners who may not be used to this conversation knows what we're talking about. In the research, I'll just mention,
sure,
that in the research that I've been perusing over the last week, in the studies on gay parenting, they talk about lesbian and gay parenting, assuming that you went gay means gay male. So they're calling it lesbian and gay parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Darla, you mentioned that Sigla just had a questionnaire, and that kind of piqued your interest on the terminology.
Yes. Among other questions they asked is, how do you refer to yourself, or what do you refer to yourself as, or something like that. And the first box to check was lesbian, and I checked it, and then I looked a little further down, and dyke was one of them, and I checked that, and queer was one of them, and I checked that. So it matters not to me. If you're speaking to me kindly, and it's not a derogatory word.
So gay, but what about gay woman, or just gay? Gay marriage.
Yeah.
'Cause that's a term.
I mean, I prefer the term gay, actually, to lesbian. It's just, I think it's a personal preference thing. Everybody has their own preference. You know, really, it's just a label like any other label. And I don't know. I like to try to kind of stay away from the labeling. I mean, I consider us a gay couple. That's
okay.
What I say.
So
or I just
gay
say
couple.
My partner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I used the acronym CIGLA. Do you want to explain what that means?
Yeah, the CIGLA stands for the Southeast Alaska Lesbian and Gay Alliance. I don't know exactly when CIGLA was established, but soon at least, I mean, so over 20 years, because it was a It was here when I moved up in 1989, and it's an agency that just works with Southeast Alaska people that are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, for helping people with, support or parents and friends and families of gay and lesbian or transgender folks.
I know it's a new event they're hosting or sponsoring is like get-togethers, like on Friday night. I noticed that. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah,
at various places.
Mm-hmm. Various, I think they're in bars downtown right now.
Yeah,
Friday night.
Bars.
They've been doing that for a while. You know, when you get, we've been together 23 years, so we don't often frequent bars on a Friday night. But if we would, I think it'd be fun to go down. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, now really our job is parents, so we don't do a lot of that social stuff anymore.
Oh, I know how it is. Mm-hmm. I know how it is. So, are you legally married?
No, we're not. No,
and
we,
what's the story behind that?
Well, as you know, Alaska passed a constitutional amendment back in 2002, I think it was, that redefined marriage as a union between one man and one woman, and which basically made that an impossibility to ever happen, although now many states that have similar bans are having those bans challenged in courts. Mm-hmm. And so we just have decided that we would prefer to wait until we can marry legally here in the state where we live and have lived for many years. But depending on what happens, there's a lawsuit pending that there are going to be some arguments this October, and kind of waiting to see what happens nationally. It's a possibility that we might go to a state that does allow gay marriage legally.
Of course, that would be the second time that we would go to a state.
Right.
We did get married. I don't remember how many years ago.
2004.
When California was one of the first states that recognized same-sex couples marriage, and we had a huge ceremony or celebration here in Juneau and a big kickoff from our friends. And the couple days before we were to leave for California, they stopped issuing marriage licenses. So we went there anyway with another couple from Juneau and had a lovely weekend and a beautiful ceremony in a Universalist Unitarian church. It was beautiful.
Oh, you had already had a marriage ceremony.
Right. But we had the ceremony and it wasn't legal. But
it's not legally recognized.
And it wasn't legal by 2 days. Oh.
No, and if it were legal, it would be like the states that are having legal gay marriage. We would still move back here and our marriage would still not be recognized in the state of Alaska. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What would happen if you were legally married in the state of Alaska? How would things be different, both economically and emotionally, if at all? What advantages are there to being married?
I think financially, I would no longer have my check have imputed income added to it. So the government taxes the benefit of the health insurance benefit. So it's a several hundred dollars a month that I will see on my paycheck because I will no longer have imputed income.
So you work for the state?
I work for the state of Alaska.
And because of a court decision, your partner has health benefits.
Right. The state of Alaska recognizes same-sex partner benefits, and we signed up for it. And so I'm able to have Karen on and Willa on as a Keller Heron as my partner, but they also tax the value of that benefit. So, and it's called imputed income, where that's not the case for heterosexual couples that are married.
Yeah.
So,
do you feel there'd be an emotional difference if you were legally married?
No.
No.
No, we've been together 23 years. Our commitment would not change in the least. But there is something about not having our union, our relationship legally recognized and someone that's known, a man and a woman that have known each other for a day or a week or a month, can get married and have these rights that, people that have worked hard and lived and made a life together for decades cannot have. And that's frustrating.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And unfair. Tell me, when did you decide to have a child?
Years and years and years and years ago, we decided that we wanted to have children and tried for many years with artificial insemination. And we were not successful with that, and we were not successful because Willow was waiting for us.
Because you were destined to get Willow.
Absolutely.
So tell me about how Willow came into your lives.
We were meeting with a friend of ours, talking with her, and she said, "Is it birthing a child or being a mother that you want?" And I said, "Being a mother." And so adoption sprang into the possibilities. And we went to a couple different seminars of companies who provided that service for international adoptions, and they all said no to same-sex couples, that their laws didn't allow it in their countries. And the similar one with China, although when we talked to the president of the company, they said they will adopt to a single woman, and looked at me.
Hey,
and
you're technically single.
Yeah, yep. That's all they said.
You're
he
single.
Said, so what I'm hearing you say is, we can adopt, and he said we can adopt to a single woman, and we said,
and
okay,
voila.
I hear you, and we did.
Excellent.
And I think part of the reason we were, you know, at least personally for me, that we were a little hesitant about adoption in the beginning was because we did feel like we'd have to jump through all kinds of hoops and have people, you know, it's just disheartening. You know, already it's disheartening being a member of an oppressed group in society. But when you love someone and you want to create a family together and then feel as though people are saying people like you shouldn't have children and all that kind of stuff, you know, the adoption route was a little bit scary at first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can understand. Mm-hmm. I can completely understand. And then there's the whole question of being in or out of the closet. And one thing, I know both of you said that you have in your relationship been open. And obviously having a child or children would totally preclude any secrecy about your sexual orientation. I mean, how could you have a child and say, don't tell?
Right. I mean, a child being raised to feel ashamed of who their parents are, I can think of nothing worse than that. And, you know, of course, we're not ashamed of who we are, and we're so proud to have Willa as our daughter and proud of our family, and we all love each other very much.
Yeah, I can tell. I can definitely tell. We were talking another time about generational differences, that there are, for example, on this program, when I was looking for two speakers for a family that could come on, I would have loved to also have a gay male who was parenting, but I could not get any contact with anybody yet, and because I'd love that perspective, and just the different prejudice against homosexual men versus lesbians is pretty stunning, because I think it's more likely that they would be pretty quiet or adverse to coming on the radio compared to a woman. Why do you think that is? What's the situation with men?
Well, I mean, I can't
gay men.
Speak to that because I'm not a gay man, but you know, I do think that at least we hear about more violence against gay men.
Yeah.
With homophobia and that sort of thing. I do think the threat of physical violence might be more so. And I don't really know the idea of same-sex parenting. Maybe it is more acceptable for two moms that society, you know, whereas it's not ready to embrace two moms or two dads. It may seem like maybe two moms is a little bit easier to swallow for some people than two dads.
Yeah, it's a lot easier for two moms to get pregnant than two dads.
Yeah.
And so artificial insemination, they need a surrogate.
Surrogacy.
It's a whole different deal.
And truly, adoption, you know, there are countries that do adopt to single women. but not many that will adopt as straight men.
And also, many men are probably gay men are still in marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're in a heterosexual marriage, but their sexual orientation may be homosexual. So they're raising a child, but within the but they're in the closet about it. And I don't know, after a divorce of a heterosexual marriage, if, you know, it would make any difference if it came out during the divorce proceedings that the husband was gay and he could lose custody. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm not sure either, but you certainly hear a lot of stories in court custody cases where whatever parent comes out as gay, the mother or father, it's very hard for them to get custody, especially in front of certain judges.
Okay.
So I do think that's definitely an issue that people are fearful of, already having children and being concerned about coming out after that.
Yeah. And
I think it's probably a generational thing, too, in that, you know, years ago, if there was a couple that gets divorced, the mother gets the kids. That's just how it, you know,
right.
For years and years and years, that was the norm. So I think it's just times are changing slowly.
Yes, yes. But how fast do you think things are changing? I as a bystander, feel the rapidity of the attitudinal change towards gay people. It seems to be moving.
I agree.
There is movement. There is no doubt about it.
I think. Yeah. I think. I mean, the last 5 years really has been astronomical. I think.
A gay activist buddy of mine from Seattle sent me a link to the party that Obama threw at the White House after one of the big court decisions. And I looked around, you know, it was all the pictures of the party, and I just went like, oh, my gosh, this is fabulous.
Well, and you see mainstream TV shows and movies with gay characters now that were never, I remember, you know, the excitement there was when Ellen DeGeneres came out, mm-hmm. you know, what, 10, 15 years ago on her show, that it was the hugest thing for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And now you don't bat an eye, and especially now kids growing up, it's like, for them, no big deal at all.
Mm-hmm. Is Juno, do you feel a tolerant community for two women raising a child together? For your situation, how do you feel about it?
I feel it's wonderful. It's incredibly tolerant and accepting. Will has been in the Montessori school system since she was a toddler, really 18 months old, and just graduated 8th grade with the adolescent Montessori program. And it's been a wonderful experience for all of us, the family, the community, the respect and friendship that's in that group of families.
I've only lived in Juneau or a tiny town in South Dakota, so my experience is Juneau is much more tolerant
than a tiny town.
Yes. My mom would say, you don't go on that radio. You don't need to be that radio.
Isn't that fantastic? In our red state, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Juneau is a wonderfully tolerant community. And earlier I asked Willa if she's ever experienced any harassment or problems. And do you want to say something or should I? Okay. And she said no.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was dumbfounded because it's so amazing.
It's a non-issue for the kids.
Uh-huh.
It seems.
Really. And it'll be interesting to see what happens in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Because high school could be a little bit different. But you're prepared.
It could be, you know, and Willa is a kid that surrounds herself with people that are kind and respectful and open, just like she is.
Yeah, yeah. I mentioned that I was going to review some of the research, and what's amazing is the concurrence of 3 decades of studies. It's been repeatedly shown that it's the quality of family life, including the emotional health of the parents, the quality of their relationship, and the level of cooperation in child rearing that determines a child's emotional and physical well-being, rather than the gender or the sexual orientation of parents. And I did not read any research on comparing children of gay divorce versus children of heterosexual marital divorce. But I'm just going to guess it's about the same, that it's more beneficial to grow up with two parents. And as you know, it's a lot of work, mm-hmm. and you can spread the work around, and the child gets twice as much love. But in 2005, the American Psychological Association actually issued an official brief on lesbian and gay parenting that said, quote, "Not a single study has found children of lesbian or gay parents to be disadvantaged in any significant respect relative to children of heterosexual parents." This research is very important because some of the arguments against gay marriage are against gay parenting. If we allow gays to marry, they'll have families, and it hurts children. And there is no empirical research to show that. A very recent study I read by Dr. Benjamin Siegel, who's a professor of pediatrics at Boston University School of Medicine, he co-conducted a meta-analysis of the three decades of studies on children of gay parents. And he was preparing, actually, to have this done before a Supreme Court decision. And he concluded, many studies have demonstrated that children's well-being is affected much more by their relationships with their parents, by their parents' sense of competence and security, and by the presence of social and economic support for the family. Notice, social and economic support. So that means any economic discrimination, you know, you won't rent to gays, you lose a job because you're a gay teacher, that harms the family. Discrimination like that harms the family. But that is what Siegel is saying, is the quality of those relationships is far more important than, again, the gender or sexual orientation of their parents. So he also noted that the lack of opportunity for same-gender couples to marry adds to family stress, which affects the kids. Mm-hmm. It affects all household members. So what's interesting is the research shows parity in the outcome of child rearing, whether it's a gay family or a straight family, mm-hmm. in spite of the fact that gay families have a burden of prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big.
It is big. I mean, I think it's important that you talk about two loving parents. Single parents, many, many single parents do an incredible job raising kids as well. But I think the best outcome is kids that have two loving parents. And it's not the gender of the parents that's important. It's the health of the relationship. I grew up in a family with a mom and a dad, and it was not a healthy family. There mm-hmm. was domestic violence. There was alcohol. There was mental health stuff. And you know, it's far more important, the quality of the relationship and the family and how you parent, than who's doing the parenting.
Yeah, you're right. And let's take a short music break. Jeff Brown picked out some topically appropriate music for us, and we'll be right back, and we'll continue to explore gay parenting, the research, and the real experience of two moms here, Karen and Darla.
Under one sky, we're a family under one sky.
We're
plumbers.
We're plumbers.
We're doctors.
We're doctors.
We're nurses.
We're nurses.
And builders, too.
And builders, too.
We're dancers.
We're dancers.
We're astronauts.
We're astronauts.
We're teachers.
We're teachers.
And students, too.
Under one sky, we're a family under one sky. We're all a family under one sky. We're a family under one sky.
We're lions.
Rawr!
We're kitty cats.
Meow!
We're puppy dogs. And we're sheep too.
Meow!
We're horses.
Nay!
We're cows. We're snakes, and we're pigs, too.
We're all a family under one sky. We're a family under one sky. We're all a family under one sky. We're a family under one sky.
We're American.
We're American.
We're Russian.
We're Russian.
We're Israeli.
An Egyptian too.
An Egyptian too.
We're Mexican.
We're Mexican.
South African.
South African.
We're Irish.
We're Irish.
And we're Chinese.
And we're Chinese.
We're all a family under one sky. We're a family under one sky. We're all a family under one sky. We're a family under one sky.
We're happy.
Yay!
We're sad. We're silly. And we're tender too. We're angry. We're frightened. We're curious. And we're really excited.
Yay!
We're all a family under one sky. We're a family under one sky. We're all a family under one sky. We're a family under one sky.
Back to Mind Over Matter. I'm Dr. Elaine Schroeder, and I'm in the studio tonight with Darla Madden and Karen Wood, both parents of a 14-year-old daughter. And we're having a conversation about their experience raising a child as a lesbian couple and just about gay parenting in general. I'd asked Willa if she's experienced any problems or harassment because she has two moms. So I want to ask you two, have you experienced any put downs? Now we'll keep it to gay since you've been together. Have you, you know, before and after Willa came, have you been faced with any adverse reactions from people?
The only thing that comes to mind is I worked with a woman years ago, and it was before Karen and I got together, I had a breakup, and it was fairly devastating, and I was in the closet. So my breakup was in the closet as well, and there was a lot of sadness around that, not being able to share it with anyone. So at that moment, I decided if I meet someone and I end up in another relationship, that I would be out.
Mm-hmm.
So a woman at work asked me one day if I was seeing anyone, and I said yes, and her name is Karen. And she looked, and I said, I'm a lesbian. And she said, you are not. I said, I am too. She said, you are not. So that, and you know, I don't know that that was harassment. But that's really the only time.
And it ended amicably,
yes.
I presume. She just went like, really?
She couldn't quite comprehend that.
Yeah, it was like, well, she had just assumed mm-hmm. that lesbians look different from straight people, and she just thought you looked straight. Oh, that's great.
Hysterical.
And since then, that's the only?
I've not had experiences that were negative, really.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have had a few. I was on a fire department in town, I'm not going to say which, in the 90s, early 90s, that was not really very accepting. It was a kind of an old boys club type group, and it was really hard. That was hard for me, so that was a negative experience. I didn't stick there for long.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that time that someone put a CD or a DVD in our mailbox? Yeah, we did have an incident where somebody put a, inappropriate something in our mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, those are just the things that come to mind,
That's great. Darla's forgotten it, which is kind of nice.
Oh, yeah, the picture.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Unfortunately,
and that happened. Right. Earlier I used the term non-traditional family, but let's take a look at that. How much has changed? There's all kinds of family. It's this cute little kitty song was promoting. So we have a gay couple with adopted girl from China. Mm-hmm. We have single parents. We have everything under the sun.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the forms have changed. But I was noticing just today one of the forms that we had to fill out for Willa to attend high school, and it said mother, father. So you cross it off and you put mother, mother.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of them have changed to parent or guardian, which is nice.
Yeah.
Remember the birth certificate issue? We went to get after we had adopted Willa and it became legal here, we got an Alaska birth certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And they have those beautiful heirloom birth certificates that you can order.
Yes.
The one with Rima Yo's woman with the baby on her back.
Beautiful.
Oh, we wanted that so bad. And so we went to order it. And Vital Statistics said, well, we can't possibly do that. It says mother, father.
Mm-hmm.
We said, you can't change it to parent, parent or something. And it was such a huge deal. But I think at about 9 or 10 months later, they had worked it out so that
really?
They were able to and issued it.
Did it say mother, mother or parent, parent?
It said parent, parent. And then we had it framed and it's hanging up in the house.
Yeah. They're beautiful. Yeah, I have them for my kids, too. They're just really... really gorgeous. Good for the state of Alaska, but they did it.
Yeah.
But it sounded like that wasn't traumatic to you. It's self disclosure, I have 3 Asian adopted children. So I love it when we go through customs.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're in the car and we're going back and forth to Skagway. And we've got, sometimes we have our granddaughter in the car, and she's Asian. Sometimes we have our 41-year-old son in the car. I mean, we have a huge variety. And every once in a while, and fortunately they're getting to know us at the Canadian station in Skagway and at the U.S. side, but every once in a while they'll say, well, who are they? And I'll go, well, they're our kids. And then there's that same stop, like, you aren't a lesbian, are you really? Oh,
yeah.
They're
yeah.
your kids. And there's this, 41-year-old. My kid. Yeah, it's my kid.
Remember that happened in New York when we were coming through and they looked at Willa, and you can probably tell she's quite shy, and they said, who are those two? To her about who are you?
She wouldn't answer.
She just looked at the...
they knew you were sneaking her in. Right.
It's funny you say, the birth certificate issue was not traumatic at all.
Yeah.
But there are little things like that just add up that are just exhausting and depressing, that after time, those little instances of, really, we have to deal with this again. And, like you said, those little bits add up to stress, I think, for us.
Oh, yeah.
And for all parents that are kind of.
Kind of this probably low-grade stress.
Yeah, it's a low-grade, just like, come on, isn't it 2014? Can we just all be treated equally, please?
Uh-huh. Well, also the fact that constantly in the paper, pro and con on gay marriage, constantly in the paper and other places, negative stuff about gay people.
Yeah, and it's tiring because what we focus on as parents are what everybody else focuses on parents. Our child's health, her education, her happiness, our relationship, our family, losing parents, illnesses, just dealing with the same stresses and challenges and joys and sorrows that everybody does.
Yeah. And and it's just, you're just two moms.
Yep. Yep.
two moms. But there is a difference, and let me talk a little bit about that difference. So there is a possibility that some children of gay parents actually do better than children of heterosexual parents. Now, remember, you can find a lot of studies about a lot of things, so I'm going to just tell you about probably one of the four top largest sample studies on gay parenting and the outcome. It's really not studying the parents so much as studying, you know, how the kids are doing. So this is an Australian study, University of Melbourne, and they had a sample of 315 same-sex parents with a total of 500 children, of their 500 children. And they found that in most indices, there was no significant difference in these kids' emotional and physical functioning compared to children from the general population, except in general, in the two indices, general health and family cohesion, the kids coming from same-sex families scored about 6% higher. And I think the interesting one is family cohesion. What the authors suggested that the reason for that is that there's greater social cohesion among same-sex families because it comes from a more equal distribution of work, okay, with couples that are more likely, whether they're two guys or two women, and the preponderance in numbers is going to be two women, the two women are more likely to share responsibilities equally than would a heterosexual couple. And do you observe that? Do you observe that at all or not? Do you feel that you share parenting responsibilities more equally or not?
Absolutely. I mean,
you do?
I think now, though, I see it changing. I think gender stereotypes are really changing anyway, and so there's a lot more moving away from the mom has to do this and the dad has to do this, and there's much more sharing of parenting between parents, whether they're gay parents or straight parents, whatever. But I do feel as though, and when we first got together, I felt like this huge sense of freedom and just not having to abide by any of those gender role stereotypes. We both have strengths and like to do different things. And, you know, I love to clean the house. Darla loves to cook. And we share things without even thinking about what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. And so, you know, coming from a household that was more traditional where, you know, my mom did certain things and my dad did certain things, there's a sense of freedom in that. And, you know, being able to choose to do what we enjoy and sharing responsibilities.
What you're talented at, your inclination.
Exactly.
The authors of the study had a similar conclusion. They said in a same-sex union, each member of the couple can take on the roles better suited to their skills rather than defaulting to gender stereotypes where the mom is the primary caregiver and the dad is the primary breadwinner.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going... I did a lot of volunteering in the schools because I cut back on my work after we adopted our three kids, and there were hardly ever any males, you know, any dads volunteering in the school. And, you know, a lot of that had to do with if the dad's working full-time but the mom's not,
mm-hmm.
you know, she's more likely to back off. And that has a lot to do with who makes more money.
Yeah.
And we know that there's not wage equity in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And it's much more likely that a male will be encouraged to take their career more seriously, have the better paying job, you know, the doctor married to the nurse or whatever it is.
Well, those times are changing.
Yes,
they are.
Yes, those times are changing.
Yeah, and just in our experience, you know, seeing just as many dads in Willa's classroom as moms.
Oh, you
been
are?
Wonderful.
Really?
Yeah,
see,
absolutely.
My youngest is 26.
Yeah.
So I haven't been in a classroom for a while. You're really seeing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you know, the Montessori education is a little bit alternative.
Yeah.
But absolutely, it seems as though it's changed since when I was a kid.
I mean, I was thinking of two different couples, straight couples that are friends of ours that have children. And in the one scenario, the mom is nearly 100% of the parenting, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other couple, it's about the reverse. I think the dad mm-hmm. does a lot of the parenting. So, and maybe Juneau is a different cross-section than the rest of the country. I don't know. I think, like you said, Montessori might be, but... Yeah, and yeah. And growing up, it absolutely the mothers were the ones that raised the kids.
That was our role model. Was that yep. your role model, Darla?
Absolutely.
And it was my role model, too. Mm-hmm. My dad worked, and my mom stayed home and raised us.
And mom stayed home and, you know, quote, didn't work. And yeah. until I had Willa, I remember practically the day after we got Willa, I called mom and said, I am so sorry. I had no idea how hard you worked. I am sorry.
Yes. Yeah, I know my kids treat me better after they have their own children.
Yes.
Yeah, two out of three have kids already, and they are much more appreciative of mm-hmm. what I do for them.
True.
Yeah. And another interesting study conducted by three universities, UCLA, University of California, San Francisco, and the University of Amsterdam, they cooperated and they took a look at a sample of 17-year-old daughters and sons of lesbian mothers. And the kids of lesbian moms compared to heterosexual parents, scored significantly better academically and socially and had fewer behavioral problems compared to their age-matched, income-matched, so mm-hmm. SES status-matched counterparts from the heterosexual family. So why do you think that could be? If it's true, why do you think it could be?
That makes me want to cheer. You know what I think it really is that, coming from a family that's as diverse as ours, you know, two moms, Will is adopted, Will is also from China, we talked, from the time Will was tiny, we talked about differences and differences being a good thing and respecting people that are different, you know, not just, you know, gay and straight people, people of different races, people with different abilities, of different ages, different religions. So she grew up in a family that was very open-minded and accepting. And she is a person that's that way. And I'm just guessing because these kids are growing up in families where they have to deal with, in some ways, being second-class citizens just because gay rights, you know, gay people still do not mm-hmm. have equal rights. They're more open and understanding of people that struggle, I think, of people that are oppressed and people that are different.
I think so, too.
But I'm not, yeah. That's just my guess.
Do you have any idea, Darla? Anything to add?
What I was thinking when Karen started talking about this is I remember we've said to Willa so many times, imagine if everyone was exactly the same, what that would be like. And her response is, boring.
Well, I love getting your opinion and see how it confirms the opinion of the researchers. And what they said is that children, we're talking about the kids, in lesbian families, they scored, because these kids were given tests, they scored more androgynous in their attitudes towards gender stereotypes. They had fewer gender stereotypes, okay? And, you know, that women don't work and men do work and women are passive and men are aggressive and men are violent and women are whatever. But they had fewer gender stereotypes. So what that means, and this goes back to some work I've done on androgyny, androgyny is a scale of stereotypical, not innate, but stereotypical male and female characteristics. And the more you're in the middle, where you are balanced, that corresponds to better mental health. Mm-hmm. And you can also see, if you've got two parents who both work, I'll just use an example, and one of them gets laid off, that's a stronger family economic base because both people can work. But long, long ago, when I was in graduate school, this would be like 35 years ago, 35 years ago when I was at University of Washington, at the early part of my graduate work, it was an economic crisis in Seattle because Boeing's had closed. And I was a graduate student therapist on a study around treatment of male impotence. And what happened is so many of the people who volunteered as clients for the study, as patients for the study, were men who had been laid off from Boeing. And these were high-level executives, engineers. So here's the deal, and this was one of the conclusions of our study. The point wasn't to take a look at the economic crisis in Seattle. It was the interesting thing that these men had previously had no problem with their sex lives, but they were often living in Bellevue with very traditional families, and the wife didn't work, so they plummeted mm-hmm. into economic chaos, and his whole status was based on his ability to bring home the bacon. Mm-hmm. And she, of course, so in their world of these very skewed gender stereotypes, if he didn't have a job, he wasn't a real man, and it affects his sexuality. So by a well-balanced marriage where both people can pick up the kid from the dentist when you have all the skills between you, mm-hmm. not perfectly the same, there's greater strength at all times, particularly in crisis. And the other thing you mentioned was learning tolerance. So tolerance engenders a happy attitude. So if you think of being uncritical towards others, non-judgmental, people have different lives, that kind of feeling, mm-hmm. that is a positive emotion. Whereas prejudice is on the continuum of anger and is a negative emotion. Mm-hmm. Prejudice is like hate, and it's a negative emotion. So if you hold a lot of prejudice and judgment about other people, you're a less happy person. So tolerance, I think the kids who are more tolerant would score higher on a happiness scale, if such existed. So now we're going to take another quick break. We will be right back, but we've got a short little ditty for you, and then we'll wind up the program with some other comments.
I have a neighbor who was born in Peru. Her mom adopted her when she was just two. They have fun together in the things that they do, and their house, it is filled with love.
Love makes a family, so many ways that we can be. I want the whole world to see that love makes a family.
I have a friend whose parents live far apart. At first she was thinking it would break her heart, but after some time she can finally start to find two houses filled with love.
Love makes a family,
so many ways that we can be. I want the whole world to see that love makes a family.
There is a house across the street from me, filled with generations 1, 2, and 3. Grandparents, parents, and a little baby, and their house, it is filled with love.
Love makes a family, so many ways that we can be. I want the whole world to see that love makes a family.
Kids up the street have two moms and no dad. Some people tease them, they say that it's bad. The way people treat them, it makes me real mad, 'cause their house, it is filled with love.
Love makes a family, so many ways.
be alone. But the neighborhood kids like the friendship they've shown, and their house it is filled with love.
Love makes a family. So many ways that we can be. I want the whole world to see that love makes a family. That love makes a family. That love makes a family. That love makes a family.
Welcome back to Mind Over Matter. I'm Dr. Elaine Schroeder, and I'm in the studio tonight with Karen Wood and Darla Madden, a couple of longstanding, 23 years, did you say?
Yes.
And they are the parents of a 14-year-old daughter who's listening in the studio. And we're having a really interesting conversation about, really what it's like to be two women raising a daughter in a relationship. So, Karen, you had another point you wanted to make about why there may be some advantage in, to kids.
I was just going to mention earlier when you talked about that study that same-sex parents, whether men or women, we don't just have kids accidentally. There's no, oops, there's going to be a baby we didn't plan for. We really planned for Willa, and most gay parents, whether they use artificial insemination or surrogacy or adoption or, other options, we have to work hard, we have to think long and hard about it. And all the children that live in homes with parents of the same gender are wanted children and loved children, just like many children are all over the world. But we do really, it's just not something that happens by accident.
Yeah, I think that's a clear advantage because you're taking out of the sample the more high-risk pregnancies.
Mm-hmm.
At the University of Washington, I actually worked at the adolescent clinic and led a group for high-risk parents, and that usually meant 16-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
And so the sample would be unlikely to include accidental pregnancies by teenagers, and it makes sense that the kids would have a stronger foundation. We talked about the lack of harassment in Juneau. That, of course, isn't true in all communities, including probably small towns in, is it North Dakota?
South Dakota.
South Dakota. Would a small town in North Dakota be any better?
I would think not.
Probably not. Probably not. And, that is, I must put in a plug for Juneau. That's what's so cool about Juneau. It's 30,000. When I was moving from Seattle to Juneau, one of my closest girlfriends just rolled her eyes, because I'm from Chicago, okay?
Oh,
and she rolled her eyes. And she said, you are going to hate small towns. It's small-minded small towns. She had grown up in a small farm town in Minnesota, which was extremely conservative. And I just kind of went, well, I don't know. I'm moving there. And she was totally wrong about this small town.
Mm-hmm. I think Juneau is very unique. You said this big red state of ours, but we've got this tiny little pocket of blue.
And it's totally wonderful. And pocket of artistic people.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you didn't get a chance to go to the Perseverance Theater play today.
No,
I know. Oh, they were so wonderful. I can't believe it. Three plays this summer by Perseverance, but I'm getting off topic.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of diversity in a town this size.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah, and racial diversity as well.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, and then I remember when I was growing up, speaking of adoptions, there was one boy in our class that people whispered, and he was Caucasian and was parented by Caucasian parents, but it was whispered, he's adopted.
Mm-hmm.
This is a long time ago. This is in the 60s, and it was like a really big deal. Now.
Yeah. Now even in a small community like Montessori, Willa's got friends from all kinds of families.
Oh, yeah. Lots of adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots of adoption. But I do want to talk about the Australian study. They did take a look at stigma. They called it stigma rather than harassment. Mm-hmm. Stigma is like prejudice.
Right.
You're stigmatized. It doesn't mm-hmm. mean it's an actively, somebody is writing you a nasty note.
Mm-hmm.
So they talked about and looked at stigma ranging from subtle issues such as teachers sending letters home from the school address to Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, okay, which you've had, to much more harmful problems such as bullying. And I think that when kids get to high school, and I will love to hear in about 2 or 3 years from Willa and other kids who with gay parents, if it has changed from what it was about 10 years ago, because my kids were in high school then. And I remember the first time we were sitting around the dinner table, the first time one of my kids said, oh, that's gay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What do you think of the use of that word?
I think kids still say it.
Mm-hmm.
I do. You know, we talk about that it's okay to, you know,
mm-hmm.
to talk about what that means. Is what is that supposed to mean? Is that, you know, that's so gay is supposed to be an insult? And why
it's
do you think
insult.
People
yeah.
use that? And what, you know, we talk about thinking about what that really means and how
mm-hmm.
that affects people. And
well, in the same way that we just watched something on the internet about girls.
Oh, you run like a girl.
You run like a girl, and you
yeah.
throw like a girl.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How that's supposed to be
an insult.
Yeah.
Stigma.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good analogy.
Yeah.
And I just explained to our kids it was pejorative, it was a put down,
mm-hmm.
and we're not going to use it in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And they still, you know, to this day, I remember that. So
yeah.
it's really, really good. But before we sign off, I would like to thank all of our listeners tonight so much for tuning into Mind Over Matter, a monthly show on K2. And I want to thank Darla Madden and Karen Wood for being here tonight. And thanks to Willa, patiently observing this show in process. And to John and Dolly Kramers, who we figure at least for 5 years have been my engineers working the board here at K2. I really appreciate it, you guys. It's been a long time. We should celebrate that. So Mind Over Matter will air again on Monday, September 1st, which is Labor Day, at 7 p.m. And I will be interviewing a special visitor to Juneau from Thailand, a Thai author and activist. His name is Sulak Sivaraksa, and he will be giving 2 presentations that the week of September 1st in Juneau. One will be during the week in the evening at Juneau World Affairs Council, and the other will be Friday night, the first inaugurating the series of Friday at Egan. So he will be speaking on Thai politics and on sustainability and generally the state of the world, and I will get to interview him on the radio. So please join us for the next show, Monday, September 1st, 7 p.m., Labor Day. Good night.